Focus for our sermon today comes from John chapter 13. You can follow along on page 7 in your service folder. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen. There's a few new voices in the world and media that are really starting to do some good explanations about Christianity. One of these voices is a guy named Wesley Huff. He's got a lot of degrees in studying the history of the Bible and defending and giving the background and explaining things very well. He's going on a lot of podcasts that are pretty popular and sharing about Christianity. We don't agree everything with his theology, but he's got some amazing things to share to give confidence in the Bible. One of the clips I just saw of him recently was he was sharing a story of a panel of different wise people, how they have this. They'll have this at a college, different places. They'll have maybe a Christian, and then people of different faiths, and then someone who's an atheist. And this one had three people, a Christian, a Muslim, and an atheist. And the question that was posed was, what creates a good society? Okay? So if you were to think about that, how would you create a good society? What would you do? And he said the atheist and the Muslim agreed. They said, well, we have to create more laws. We have to get the right laws and really enact them and get all the laws out there for people. He said, you know what the Christian said? Not about more laws, but it's about people getting to understand the love of Jesus and then loving others. That laws can only do so much. What really changes people is love, and especially the love of Jesus, and then to love others and want to care for them. I think this is really at the heart of our message today, that not only is this good for society, we see that the love we have from God and love for others does something amazing there, but it makes all the difference. We'll talk about that. And what does it mean for us and our spiritual life and our souls and our peace to understand God's love for us? We're going to look at what it means for living in Christian love. And that has the two sides, right? To look at Christ's love and then what it means for us to live in reaction to that love and loving others. When we look at our text, as we introduce it, we know that this is Maundy Thursday. That's actually what Maundy means. Looking back to these words, a new command. Here we see the first word said, when he was gone, this is Judas had left, but the thing that just had preceded this was Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. He had already just shown love to them, but then he switches things even more to then talk about what's going to happen, that he's going to love them to the full, but he then starts talking about the Son of Man being glorified and that God is glorified in him. What's pretty fascinating to think about is what is all going to happen. What is he talking about in being glorified? Because this really helps us understand when he's going to talk about love, what it's all about. Because as he's going to be glorified, it's going to look nothing like glorification or honor to us, right? How is it going to start out? But he is going to be betrayed and arrested, beaten, mocked, and put on a cross. And when you look at glory, this has nothing to do with glory. He's not glorifying himself in the worldly ways, but sacrificing himself and showing true love by putting everyone else first. This is really the love that he wants his disciples, that he can't really explain it to them yet because they don't understand. He says here a few passages later, where I'm going, you cannot come. You cannot do what I'm going to do. And you don't really fully understand the extent of my love until you see it. So then, as he says, a new command, what we're understanding is he's really told, we know that the Bible talks all the time about love God and love others, so it's not a new thing in that way, but the extent, the amazing thing that Jesus does for us is a new thing. So we want to see love in a new way and not a selfish way. Because that's really where we first have to understand what God's love is it's this sacrificing love. Because when we think about love, when people in our world today go into marriage, it's more about what do I get out of this? Or even when I try to love other people, well, I'm only going to love the people, the friends or the co-workers or the people in the world who can give something back to me. I'm not going to love my enemies. I'm not going to love these other people who are mean to me because that does me no good. In fact, it might hurt me. Or for me to sacrifice, well, that doesn't seem like love. That just seems foolish. And that's then when we look to 1 Corinthians 13. This passage, I think, is quite fascinating because when do we always read this? Weddings, right? This is such a famous wedding passage to read about love, but whenever we read that on a wedding, when we read about what love is, and you maybe look back to your relationships, your friendships, your marriages, and then you hear these words, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Is that how you love others? When you look at those things, we're like, oh, yep, check, 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 check. When we speak about it in a marriage, we often also then say, well, we have to see Jesus in this because you are not going to do this all. And really, this section of Scripture Paul wrote, not to be read at weddings all the time, but to be read in this setting. To understand what it means for people to live together just as brothers and sisters in the faith in this world, but how do Christians interact with one another? And as pretty as these verses are, there's a lot of law in it because we know if you put your name in there, we fall short. It's pretty devastating, especially those keep no record of wrongs, patient. Pick your word, right? And each of us probably struggles with a different one. And so if you want to see where we need to understand love in a new way and not a selfish way is because we are not good at this. And so we have to understand then where do we need to understand true love and the best love, but from Christ's love. And this is where we see Christ and where he says he's going to glorify God and he's going to be glorified by dying on a cross. Notice he says, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. What really changes everything, Christ's love makes all the difference. Because we can see these words of 1 Corinthians 13 being fulfilled in Jesus. He does not keep a record of wrongs. If he kept a record of wrongs, would he have gone to the cross to die for the sins of the world? If he wasn't patient with his disciples, if he didn't have this amazing love, not only for his Father to glorify him, but then to show that love for you and for me. And it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, because that's all we talk about so often with love, of how do you feel, or I don't feel in love anymore. But it's done in action. The selfless action of Christ that redeems us, that washes away every sin, and that breaks down the barrier between you and God. Because our sins are there. Our sins are in us, and they make it so that we cannot love in the right way. And so we need Christ to forgive us and wash away those sins. It makes all the difference for us. And as we do that, notice what he says. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Again, we ask, oh, how good are we at doing those things? To love one another in the way that Jesus loves us. I think a helpful way to see that, or to put it that into practice, is to see how Jesus loved us. Maybe if I can see others as Jesus sees them, then I might be able to show them a little bit more love. Because how does Jesus see us? How does God see us? But no longer ones who are steeped in sin, but one who is redeemed by Christ. He doesn't look at the outer ways or what things can I give to him? Because again, when we think about love, we think, what can I get out of this? Does God need anything from us? But yet, Jesus sacrificed himself and gave everything for us. But now he sees us through Christ, his redeemed children, loved with value and purpose to go and share that love. And each and every one of us, every soul is valuable, and he wants us to be with him. And it doesn't matter the language, the clothes, all the differences that we have that separate us. But to love one another as he's loved us. But we can only do that if I have that love of Christ. Because I need that ability to do it. Because on my own, I cannot. And even the world will say, you don't have to. Love those people near you. Love the people only the people that do good to you are the ones who deserve it. But no, even love your enemies. But then to think about it even more, sometimes the people that we struggle to love and really care for are not just the enemies, but the people closest to us. Here it talks about, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. One thing to look at is, yes, we know how Christ's love changes everything. It makes a huge difference and helps us see each other differently. But there's also truth that Christian love makes us different. People will then look at us different, won't they? When we can love others in this way, and where does that start? Well, in the church and in our family. To have this patience and love and compassion with one another. But is that often what happens? We just said, often the people that are closest to us are the ones that we hurt, or that we just struggle to forgive, or we have these petty differences and grievances that we just cannot get over. And you can think about it, probably a friend or a family member, and you're probably thinking about it right now. Or then extend it into the church. And this person said that, or this person did that, or the church made this decision, or they did this. And you hold on to that grievance and never forgive. Is that showing the love of Jesus? Are we any different than the rest of the world? These are words I shared at our last Unifying for Ministry meeting, coming from Colossians chapter 3. Says these words, which I think are just such a beautiful reflection of what it means to be a Christian and put God's love into action and how it's different. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Notice it's almost a match to what it talks about love is going to look like. But what is the motivation and what empowers us to do this is forgiveness. That you've been loved and forgiven greater than you can ever imagine. And so we can give that love and forgiveness to others. And just my favorite part on this is the bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I don't know if you have a grievance in your heart. It might be something very severe. It might be something very painful that someone did against you. They might have done it purposely. They might not even know that they did it. But what often hurts my heart is when Christians are divided and they can't forgive each other. And they can't show this love because then we are not any different. And there, it's kind of like a joke to think that we're not going to have grievances between family members and church members. And others in the world. Because we are sinful people, and they are going to do sinful things. I'm going to do sinful things. But we're forgiven. And the heart of the work that we want to do is to show the love of Jesus, to show that forgiveness, to get people to know that they are loved. And when we can't love one another, that hurts that message. But when we can, when people can go to the cross and say, I'm forgiven, I am loved. I see how Jesus has glorified the Father by giving his life up for me. Changes everything. I'll still continue to push this book because I believe it is it's all about this idea, this unoffendable, that we still have a few copies and you can get the audio or buy it, but the whole point of the book is you are so loved and forgiven by Jesus. That all the things that upset us, all the things that divide us, when you understand Christ's love, you can show that love and forgiveness to others. But to understand, we are not 1 Corinthians 13. We fall short. We will fall short of forgiving others. And we ask God to help us to forgive those grievances. But the important part to understand, too, is you're forgiven when you've fallen short. We are not going to love like Jesus does. We will fall short. Christ's love makes all the difference. That's the thing we have to understand. That I'm forgiven, that I'm loved, and I know there are struggles and hardships of forgiving and loving others. You're forgiven. Christ has loved us. That the key to all of this is love one another as I have loved you. Hold on to that love of Christ. And as you take hold of that gospel, it makes a difference in culture, in the church, in our community, in your family. But go back over and over to that forgiveness and love of Jesus that makes all the difference. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.